Welcome to the Preakness Moments podcast on the Racing Biz Radio. Remembering Preakness's past and looking ahead to Saturday, May 21st, when Nyquist goes for the middle jewel at Pimlico Racecourse. Quick note of thanks to our sponsors, the Maryland Horse Breeders Association, Delaware Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association, Maryland Jockey Club, Fasig Tipton & Company, Virginia Equine Alliance and the Virginia Thoroughbred Association, and the Maryland Horse Industry Board. Thanks to all. Okay, Frank Vespi here with Scott Wyckoff from WBAL Radio in Baltimore, covering his 14th Preakness. And Scott, as we've been asking other people, want to ask you, what are some memories or a memory that stands out from those years?
Well, I remember the first Preakness was very memorable. It was Smarty Jones, and I started hanging out here at the Stakes Barn with Chick Lang, who was one-time general manager of Pimlico, and really was the one who invented the infield. And it was a real showman and a real horseman. And it was kind of cool being around him because everybody knew him. And, you know, I'm not saying he was the godfather, but, you know, people would come and, you know, kiss his ring. And it was kind of neat with that. But then, I remember being up, we did our broadcast from the Jockey's Terrace. And I remember John Patty, who I work with, who was a Hilltop Award winner for WBAL in years past. He said, "Let's go get the bite to eat." And I go, "All right, we're going down the concession." He goes, "No, we're going to the jocks room. We got a tab on Preakness Day." So I went back, and I got a bowl of their Maryland crab soup. Mm-hmm. And the person next to me said, "Oh, could you pass the salt and pepper?" So I passed it over, and it was Smarty Jones jockey. And I'm thinking, okay, this is the Preakness today. It's like six or seven races away. And Stuart Elliott.
Yeah.
And he was sitting next to me eating soup like I was in a sandwich. And I hadn't been here before. So I thought that was pretty cool. I remember Fleet Alex was pretty cool.
That was amazing.
The whole, you know, about 100,000, well, maybe 60,000 people actually watched the race. But there was like you know, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that was unbelievable. And I was on the infield kind of looking down the stretch, and it was just amazing. And it was kind of neat with that. And we had a Fleet Alex in here early too for about a week and a half.
Right.
So that was kind of neat. You remember, and really for me, I'll Have Another was crying time. I spent 2 weeks out here at the barn every day with Doug O'Neill and his team O'Neill, and I really got to know Doug and Jack, his assistant trainer. Johnny, you hear him talking about the exercise rider. There was a gentleman here who hasn't come this year, a guy named Larry Thumper Jones, who is a horse chiropractor. Large animal chiropractor, a real character, wears a cowboy hat, cowboy boots, and shorts. So he shows off his legs.
Nice.
And I looked over at one time, and he had the dog of one of the folks who works here at the Maryland Jockey Club, and he was stretching out the dog who had some chiropractic issues. So that was pretty neat. And it was funny that day because sometimes I'll get the early morning duty out here on Preakness Day, and sometimes I might not stay all the way to the race. I might sneak out, because as you well know, sometimes the worst place to watch the race from our perspective
could
is the race,
because
you can't really see the race.
Right.
So I actually went home to Alney, which is about a 40-minute ride, and I was watching the race, and it was a fantastic finish, and I'll Have Another came from behind and wins the race, and there were a bunch of people at my house, and my wife said I was pretty rude, because I stood up, I high-fived someone, and I went right out the door, and I came back to the party at the barn. I didn't even interview anybody. I did. I was back in the infield and did some interviews. Then I came back to the party in the barn. And then a week later, I got a call from Mike Gathigan, who used to be the longtime publicist out here. And he said, "Hey, Doug has invited you and your wife and me and my wife to the Belmont."
Oh, nice.
I said, "That's fantastic." So I was all in. And I'd ordered my I'll Have Another hat I was going to wear and everything. And I was in the newsroom at the radio station on Friday. And everyone knew I was going. And, you know, everyone was like, "Oh, you're staying in the best hotel. And you're doing all that." I said, "Yeah, it's going to be great." And it came over, you know, the bulletin squawk box from our network. "Oh, news from Belmont Park. I'll Have Another has been scratched." I'm like, "No, they're pulling my leg," you know, because everyone knew how I was so into it. And he did. But then we got a text from Doug. He said, "Hey, we still want you guys to come." And we went. Nice. And it was a lot of fun, because what they did was They walked I'll Have Another and Lava Man, his stable pony, around the real cool outdoor paddock at Belmont. And people were out clapping, and the whole team was there, everybody. And then they took him out to the winner's circle on the track and got this huge applause from the crowd. And that was kind of neat. It was kind of fun. So those are definitely memories. But, you know, the memories for me, too, are the people out here, be it in the week leading up to the Preakness, the 2 weeks, or the people that you see at the track on Preakness Day. I think that's really unique to Baltimore, unique to Maryland, and unique to the Preakness. It's not the Derby, and it's not Belmont. It's the Preakness, and I think that's really the memories I take away.
Right. So safe to say that you got a little rooting interest in
This year. And it's funny because I'm one of the few turf reporters who's not the big handicapper. I mean, I'm always running around trying to get the story and get this next interview and this and that. So I never spend much time at the betting window, but I found out over the last 14 years that reporters can have favorites because they bet on the races like everyone else. Okay. So I have no problem, saying that this Nyquist is a favorite of mine. I was really taken back by its physical stature as it came off the horse van after flying in. I was just the muscle tone, the way the legs just come up all the way through the torso of the horse, and to me it was a very tall horse. And being around the last few days here, very impressed, kind of like an American Pharoah that walks out today and kind of posed for the cameras before it took its bath and said,
"Very classy.
You good? Cool? Okay." And it went back to it, and then during its bath was having fun with one of the grooms, and then went back in. So it's an impressive horse, and it'll be interesting to see what the challengers do, the ones that have run already, the exaggerators of the world. But also, you never know when these new horses come in. So many times we've seen, more so in the Belmont during my career, I've seen a lot of horses win the Derby and the Preakness
and not the Belmont.
Yeah. And it was almost last year, everyone was saying, "Are you going to the Belmont? Are you going to the Belmont?" And it was almost, I almost didn't want to jinx it, So there was a broadcasters convention in Ocean City that weekend. So I said, I'll go to Ocean City and I'll let it happen. And I watched in the famous Zippy Lewis Lounge at the Dunes Manor Hotel at 28th Street in Ocean City. And that's where I watched the Belmont. And it was kind of cool. And I have no regrets of not going. It was kind of cool just having the watching it there. But the funny thing is, great horse, American Pharoah. People identify their Triple Crown winner. But the horses like the Nyquist almost more of the people's horses sometimes when it's a horse that you really hadn't heard the big pedigree coming through, and you kind of have the train, Bob Baffert's a rock star.
And you kind of have
Doug, who plays it low key and who's very accessible and embraces Baltimore, comes in.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of the neat thing about this horse. And if this horse goes on after the Preakness to a Belmont, it'll have Baltimore behind it.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely right. Scott Wyckoff, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure, and it's great always seeing you at the track.
I'm here all the time.
All right.
This has been the Preakness Moments podcast on the Racing Biz Radio. For more Preakness Moments and wall-to-wall Preakness coverage all week long, check us out at www.theracingbiz.com. The Racing Biz is the independent voice for Mid-Atlantic racing and breeding. Thanks again for listening. Have a great week, and we'll see you out at Old Hilltop.